Once again, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is always good to be in the house of the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And actually, I will start at the last verse of Romans 6 and then read my way into 7. Because it will make more sense. So give me 1 second. All right, Romans 6, verse 23. Paul says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then in verse 7, Paul then randomly says this, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man." Amen. So in Romans 7, Paul is talking about how we are born into sin and all this. And then in verse 7, he begins by saying that if a woman is married to a man and marries somebody else, she's an adulteress. But if that man dies, then she's free to marry somebody else. So it almost seems like Paul goes left field, because 1 second he's talking about Christ and being born into sin and all this stuff, and then he brings up this woman who is married to someone, but then that person dies. And what Paul is really doing here is he is explaining a legal principle. Now, as you guys know, Paul can be very wordy. Paul can be very heady. So sometimes it's almost like, Paul, where are you exactly getting this from? So this morning, I want to simply do Bible study and expound on this scripture. Because many times, we go to church, we hear messages, and they're good. But the truth is that, as Pastor said this morning, the foundation of our faith is Christ and Christ crucified. The foundation is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That is truly the heart of every single sermon that is preached. And if we stray from that, we can miss what the Bible is truly trying to show us. So this morning, we're going to be in the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. And I believe that Ruth is probably the most clearest picture in the Old Testament of the gospel. But we miss it because there's so much there that is rich. It is life that if we simply slow down, we'll see that we are just like Ruth. We need a savior. We need someone to step in and rescue us. So this morning we'll be in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And in Ruth 1, verse 1, says this, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there." So what we see here is that this man named Elimelech, he was actually from the place of Judah. He was God's chosen people. But because of famine, he leaves where God has placed him. because of a desire that he had, he stepped away from where God has placed him. How often do we do that? See, I feel like that's the history of mankind. Because of desire, oh, the apple looks good to eat. Let me taste it. We step away from the presence of God. Oh, this brother, this sister looks like someone I should be with. I'll step away from the presence of God. Oh, this job is the job that's going to change my whole life. I step away from the presence of God. So this man steps away from the chosen people, the chosen nation that God has sworn himself to, all because of food. He steps away, trusting in himself, and goes seeking how to solve his own problem. And then in verse 3, it says this, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. Now they took wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. So what happens when men trust themselves? Death. When we trust ourselves, when we say, I know what God wants, or I know what I should do, death will always come into the picture. And we see here that death did not happen on day one. See, sometimes we can start on a journey that God never sent us. And just because we don't see all the bad things that the Bible says will happen when you leave the presence of God, we think, well, surely I'm going to get away with this. Surely it's not that bad. Surely if God really, really meant what he said, he would step in right now and judge me. But the thing about it is that death has been baked into sin. So just like you bake food, it's going to take time. You might not see it on day one, but surely death is going to come. And that's what we see here, that this man took his family. They left the chosen land. And though it took 10 years, father and son died. Now think about that. Father and son died. Young and old died. When man leaves the presence of God, it doesn't matter who you are, young or old, the wages of sin is death. That applies to all. So, and sometimes I know that as someone who is still kind of young, we sometimes think that our generation knows better than the one prior. We think that we'll figure out something better and do it so much better and fix it. But the truth is that we see here that when man leaves the presence of God, young and old, they die. When we leave God's people, God's place, the end result is death. So in verse 6, it says this, then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people, giving them bread. So she heard the good news. She heard the good news. God is giving his people bread back home. And then verse 7 says, therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. So she arose. Now, it might seem, because we live in such an age where women are empowered and rightfully so, you might miss what just happened here. While her husband was still living, she had no rights. While her husband was still living, as he went, she went. If he chose to go this way, she went that way. If he went this way, she went that way. But because of death, death changed everything. Now she could arise. Now she could hear good news and respond to that good news. Because without death, she was bound to her husband. Without death, she was bound to the flesh of her husband. Just like without the death of Christ, we're bound to the flesh. We're bound to the old man. We're bound to our ways. We're bound to those things that we are born into. So we see here that death truly changed everything. See, death brought her to a place of freedom, to a place of freedom where she could respond to the good news. And sometimes when we hear things like, well, what is the gospel, right? We miss that key part, that without the death of Christ, you cannot respond to the good news. See, is it really good news if you cannot take advantage of it? Because now, if you hear good news, but you can't take advantage of it, then you're just watching. Now you're just a spectator in life. But we see here that death changed everything. Once death came in the picture, Naomi could now actually say, wait a minute, I'm hearing this good news. If my husband was here, he might not want to go. He might want to go, right? But he's not here. So I now have the freedom to actually jump and take advantage of this good news. So death had changed the legal right of her life. Just like the death of Christ has also changed the legal rights that we have. And in verse 8, it says this, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return to each her mother's house. So Naomi, the death of her husband, brought her to a place of freedom. But also, the death of the sons also brought the two daughter-in-laws as well to the place of freedom. So everybody, because of Christ, has been brought to a place of freedom. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's up to you. But it says the wages of sin is death. We know that. But Christ died once and died once for all. Now, whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. So we see here that death brought all three women to the place of freedom. But the scripture also says that for freedom, he set us free. So freedom brings you to a place of choice. Freedom brings you to a place where you have to make a choice for yourself. And Naomi made that choice saying, you know what, I'm going to go back to Judah. I'm going to go back to my hometown. I'm going to go back to God. And then she turned around and said, now, you two, y'all can go back home. You two, now y'all choose. What do you want to do? Because sometimes we follow people. And I mean that this way. Sometimes, many of us in here, if you were raised in a Christian home, chances are for your younger years, you were just a Christian because your parents were Christian. You followed them because they went to church, you go to church. You know, they pray, you pray. They read their Bible, you read your Bible, right? But at some point, you have to make that choice for yourself. So in verse 10, after Naomi says, hey guys, go back. Don't follow me. There is no need to go with me. You are now free. The law has freed you. The law has freed you from this family. The law has freed you from, death has freed you from the law. Death has freed you from following me. Your husbands are no longer here. You don't have to stay with me. And in verse 10, it says that both Ruth and Orpah said, surely we will return with you to your people. But verse 11 says this, but Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons. Verse 13 says, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now, there's a lot there, but I believe what Naomi was saying is, there's no hope in my flesh. Don't follow me because of me. There is nothing that I can do for you. And once again, many of us, when we first got saved because we saw somebody, because our parents said we should go up to the altar and get prayed on. We were kind of led to Christ, which is a good thing. But the truth is, she's saying, hey, guys, don't follow me because of me. You need to figure out what you want to do with your life. You have been brought to a place of freedom because death has brought you to a place where you have a choice to make. See, every human being that has ever lived, because of the death of Christ, will be brought to a place where they have to make a choice. Do I go with myself or do I go with him? So Ruth and her sister-in-law were both brought to that same place where they had to choose for themselves. And as the scripture says in verse 14, I'll turn there real quick, 1 second. It goes on to say that Orpah, it says, then they lifted up their voices and wept again. So they were emotional. They were crying. They were, you know, all the emotions were happening. Just like all the emotions happen when we come to church, you know, we cry, we worship, we laugh, we smile, we do all those things. But it says this, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and turned around and went back home. But Ruth clung to her. So the difference wasn't the tears. The difference wasn't the crying. The difference wasn't emotion. See, sometimes we can miss the move of the Spirit for emotion. We think that, well, if I cried and if I, you know, really felt goosebumps, then truly the Holy Spirit was there. But the scripture also says that the Spirit will lead you into all truth. So the goal of the Spirit is truth and obedience. So if you're crying, if we're crying, if we're doing all that, but there's no truth and obedience, we've missed it. So we see here that Ruth clung to Naomi. She did not let go. Orpah, on the other hand, heard that there's no way that a child will be born that would actually be her husband. And she said, nope, this is too much. I'm going back home. I'm going to, you know, figure out what I need to do with my life by myself. And in verse 16, it says this, but Ruth said, do not entreat me to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything, but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So did Ruth cry? Was she also emotional? Yes. But the difference is not emotion. Because emotion can be faked. Because you can feel something so strongly while you're in church and walk out and walk right back out in your flesh. But we see here that Ruth, yes, she felt something. Yes, she cried, but there was action behind what she felt. She clung to Naomi. And not just that, she wasn't choosing Naomi. She said, your God be my God. She was choosing the God of Israel. She was making a covenant with that God. She was saying, now I'm free from the law of my husband. I belong to him. He's my God. I go where he goes. I go where you go. Why? Because you follow him. So we see here that Ruth understood the gospel in a very limited way. She knew that this law had freed her and brought her to a place where she could make a choice for the first time in her life. She could choose what she wanted to do. And it says that she clung to Naomi. Now, here's what I'm not saying. Ruth still wanted a husband. There's nothing wrong with wanting things. But in the same vein, Ruth died to that desire. She said, "My desire for God is greater than my desire for a husband. Therefore, I will be led by my desire for God rather than my desire for a husband." Because Orpah was led by her desire for a husband. So she left. But we see Ruth here is saying, no, I am making a covenant with God. Not just you, not with this family. I'm making a covenant with God and saying, let him do so. Let him judge me. Let him deal with me if I leave you. So what am I truly saying this morning? Just like Ruth, just like Orpah, just like Naomi, before the death of the first husband, as Paul would say, we were all bound by sin. We were all dead in our trespasses. And all that means is that we were born into sin, born into slavery, just like those families that we just saw. Born into something that we cannot change. We can't fix it. We can't work hard enough. We can't try. We can't earn it. There's nothing that we can do. Even when we do work, our work are filthy rags. But then it says here that through death, everything changed. And in that same vein, through the death of Christ, through his crucifixion and his resurrection, our lives can also change as well. But the thing is this, though, it brings you to a place where you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice, not as husband and wife, as you, not as parent and, kids, but you have to make a choice. You have to choose, because the death of Christ brings us to that place. It brings us to the place of freedom. But the truth is this, though, as Paul said, right, we have been set free from the old man because our life has been crucified with Christ. But now we have a choice to make. Every single one of us has a choice to make. Do we go back or do we cling? Do we press in or do we say, well, you know what, I've come far enough. God saved me. He did the hard work. Now I'll just do the rest of it. I'm going to heaven, so that's good. I'll just figure out everything else. See, sometimes we get saved and we allow God to do a mighty work in our life and he saves us. And then we start saying, well, you know what? Since that salvation part is done, let me just kind of, live and do my own thing. But we see here that it's not just the fact that the old husband, that Christ died, but now we have to choose him. We have to choose him too. Because if we don't choose him, we miss the gospel. If we don't choose him, we miss the good news. If we don't choose him, we become spectators just watching, truly missing what God has for us. So in Romans 7, verse 4, and this is Paul speaking once again. He says this, "So then, my brothers, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ." So just like all three ladies became dead to the law of their husbands, you, me, we've become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you, that me, that us, as the bride of Christ, might be married to another, but to him who was raised from the dead, so that we should bear fruit to God. See, the Old Testament truly has Christ in every single scripture, but they saw it in just in glimpse and shadows, because Ruth's husband did not rise back up, but Christ did. Our husband rose back up. Our Savior rose back up. Our King rose back up. And this truly is the meat of the gospel. It's not that we have earned something. It's not that, you know, God is going to bless you and give you mansions and all this. No, it's the fact that we were dead in our trespasses. We were legally bound and could not fix anything. But by the death and the resurrection of Christ, we've been raised up with Christ. And now we can choose. We can choose. And for some of you guys, this is the first time in your life where you're truly going to make a choice for yourself. Maybe you were born into a family where all the choices were made for you. And you just kind of have to just take what came. But the truth is that God, your Heavenly Father, has made it in such a way that the greatest thing that will happen to you, it's your choice. You get to choose it. Nobody can make this choice for you. Christ has died for you. He's brought you to a place of freedom. Now it's your choice. Do I choose to live for self or to live for him? And we see here that sometimes, like Oprah, we can love God. We can love that person. We can love God. We can love Jesus. But the cost just seems too much. How can I follow and risk not being a mother, not being a wife, not having love? Especially in that day when, sad to say, the wife's whole life was based on who she got married to. So how could I risk all this just to follow you and your God, right? So the cost seemed too much. But I truly do believe that just like they heard the good news, just like they heard the gospel in that day, that God was visiting the land of Judah and giving food, you're hearing this same gospel as well. God is still saying, it's okay. Yes, maybe the cost might have been too big in the past, but it's okay. You can come back home. You can actually chase after me once again. I'm not angry at you. See, during prayer on Tuesday, the Lord laid it on my heart. There's a scripture, Psalms 130-something, but it talks about how the Lord is slow to anger. Just think about that. The one who speaks and it happens, but it says he's slow to anger. How is that possible? The one who creates by just thinking, by just speaking, but yet he's slow to anger. He's loving. He's kind. He doesn't rush to give you, to give me what we deserve. He's slow. He has put a restraint on himself when it comes to judging. So what am I saying this morning? Maybe you were at this same point 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you know that God was calling you to seek him more, but you backed away. You were like, you know what? I'm still saved. I'm still a Christian, you know, because the death of Christ has set me free from the law, but I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to seek as hard. God is saying this morning, it's okay to come back. It's okay to press in. I'm not angry. You're hearing this message this morning because I'm asking you to come back. I'm asking you to press in. I'm asking you to seek my face and see if I will not show you great and mighty things. So once again, it is a simple message. The death of Christ has brought us to a place where we have to make a choice. Because at some point, we will all stand before God and he will ask us the same question. What did you do with my son? What choice did you make with my son? What choice did you make with the one that I sent to set you free? And that is the only question that will be asked. Because sometimes we think, well, you know what? I'm going to tell God how much I... No. Once you see his glory, everything in you will just silence. So once again, don't miss what God is saying. We all have a choice to make. Maybe you were once on fire. Maybe you truly were once clinging and you have simply slowed down. You've stepped away. You don't run as hard. God is saying, it's okay. You can cling once again. And I will still lead you. I will still guide you. I will still cleanse you. Because the scripture says that he's married to the backslider. Even when we fall away, even when we fall short, he's still there with you. So this morning, as I close, let's just go to God. Because he knows. You know, I don't know your life. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're facing. But he knows. He knows. And he sent me this morning to give you this message that it's not too late. It is not too late. You can still turn around. You can still come back home. You can still cling to him. You don't have to manage on your own. You don't have to find your own husband on your own. Because Ruth, as she chose to go with Naomi, as she chose God, her Redeemer was there. Her Redeemer was there in Judah. Boaz was there waiting for her. Oh, Father, this morning, we just thank you. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you because you go before us, Father. We thank you because the scripture says that before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. So we know this, that Father, you already had a way out, Lord, and that way was death. That way was death, Father. You sent your son to live a life that we could not live and to die a death that we deserve so that we can place our faith in Christ. And through that, we can actually rise with Christ. And not just that, become his bride, become his chosen people. So, Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, every place in our life where we are alive to ourselves, every place where our flesh is winning, Father, we know that there is nothing that death cannot cure. Oh, Father, everything that is living that is not of you, Father, we apply the death of the cross to it right now, Lord. Father, help us to die to ourselves. Help us to be like people like Ruth who choose you. Who choose you over everything. Who choose you not even knowing how tomorrow will work, but knowing that we have found God. Knowing that we have found the one who made us and the one who we were made for. Once again, God, we just thank you. We honor you and we bless your name, Lord. Help us to leave here knowing that we have been set free. We have been set free, Lord. There is nothing, Father, no addiction, no mindset, no family history, no DNA, no sickness, no nothing that is above the death and the blood of the cross. There is nothing, Father. There is nothing. There is nothing because you said with your mouth, it is finished. So, Father, by faith, we step into that, Lord. We know that legally, Father, if we put our faith in you, Lord, oh, Father, we have been set free. And, Father, we know that that freedom brings us to a choice. So help us, Father, daily to choose you. Every day, Lord, to wake up and die to ourselves and choose you. And choose you, Lord. Once again, God, we just thank you. We give you all the praise and glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ike, for that word. Let's give God just a hand for how he was used this morning to bless us. Amen. Just a few announcements. Please remember to support the ministry. Be reminded of the Freedom Project and also just your normal tithing and offering that you give every week to support the ministry. Just allow the Lord to lead you in whatever you do. Amen. Want to also thank everyone who came out to support our laity speakers this past Wednesday. It's always a blessing to have others here to support our laity ministry. And then finally, also be reminded that we have the money and the master seminar coming up on Saturday, September 19th from 10 a.m. to noon. So if you are led and you believe it's something that you can benefit from just learning and growing about your finances, what I like about it is it's biblically based. We have a lot of worldly people or people in the world that give us advice, but what better way to learn than based on God's word about our giving and all the things that are concerning money? Amen. So if you'll stand with me, I'll say a prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you for the word that we've received this morning. We ask, Lord, that you just continue to allow it to grow in our hearts, Lord God, and remind us of just everything that we've heard today from you. God, we ask that you bless our offering, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, for blessing us in such a way financially that we're able to be a blessing to someone else, our brothers and sisters in Christ, all over the world and in this ministry as well. And we thank you for that. So just continue to bless what we receive here at Christ Unveiled to meet all the needs of all the ministries that we support. Watch over us, Lord, and keep us. Go out before us in this week and bless us to all return here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.